So this week, Parshas Pinchas, the Zohar says that when Pinchas went to kill Zimri, it was a very traumatic thing for him to go up, one man alone against a prince of Israel, who also had the people on his side to a very large extent, right? And he almost died from the trauma of what he was about to do. And the neshamas of Nadav and Avihu, the sons of Aaron that had died in the Mishkan when they brought in a foreign fire, right? Their neshamas, their souls, were in the vicinity, and they went into Pinchas' body and kept him alive and joined with him, and with the power of their souls in his body, he went and completed the act and killed Zimri, which was a big atonement for the Bnei Yisrael. So the question that we need to understand is, what does the act of Pinchas, that he was going to kill Zimri for his public promiscuity, what does it have to do with Nadav and Avihu? There must be some inner connection that for that reason they join. And that's also the secret. After that, Pinchas becomes a Kohen, because Nadav and Avihu were Kohanim, and he had their souls in his body. Right, so now he deserves to be a Kohen. He has the soul of a Kohen. Right, so, but there must be some inner connection between his act and them that would cause them to be there and to join with him, on the occasion of completing this act of killing Zimri, and after that they're merged with him. Yeah. So to understand this, to go back to understanding the sin of Nadav Avihu a little bit, and then go back to Pinchas understanding the din of Kanoim Pogimbo, that the zealots can kill the one who is publicly promiscuous, understand the interconnection between these two things. All right. The Torah says, generally speaking, that Nadav and Avihu died by krivam esh zara. They brought in a foreign fire. So, it was a foreign offering, right? But the Torah put the emphasis on the fire, foreign fire, by krivam esh zara. The emphasis is on fire. Why is the emphasis on fire? So, I think this question can answer a different question. Right, that Chazal give a list of different sins that Nadav and Avihu did that, as it were, God had a score to settle with them. And on this occasion, Matzav Balchov, Mokum Advoschov, the creditor, found the occasion to collect the loan that was owed to him. Right, so, why did Chazal have to do that? Right, the Chumash itself says they brought a foreign fire. Right, so then Chazal say, but they were guilty also of X, Y, and Z. We'll deal with some of them in a minute. Right? But the truth is, because the Torah itself is begs for explanation. Because the Torah put the stress on fire, not a foreign offering. Foreign fire. Fire represents passion. Right? That part of what was wrong of your side, from technically bringing an unmandated offering, there was, something that had to do with a bigger picture, right? Foreign fire. They had a fire that was foreign. Fire represents passion. They had a passion, that was foreign, that was out of, foreign in the sense that it was out of the borders of halacha. And Chazal, and this is the truth, anyone will take a look at all the examples. I'm only going to deal with two of them, right? But anyone who takes a look at all different examples that Chazal give, you'll see that there's a common denominator to all these different, sins that Chazal, say that Nadav and Avihu were guilty of, a certain common denominator of certain uncontrollable passion of what could best be termed Azus de Kedusha, right? Holy chutzpah, which Chazal, in a few places, recommend and say is a good thing. Right, that chutzpah in the right measure of, breaking barriers, particularly in learning of Torah. Right, lo habayshin lamen chazal, a person who's very embarrassed and has a lot of shame, which is the polar opposite of chutzpah. Right, he doesn't learn. Right, there has to be a certain amount of, drive and impulsivity to push a person forward to learn, and particularly in questioning his Rebbe and making his Rebbe say it over again and making his Rebbe prove it. Very beneficial for learning and other forms of Avodas Hashem, Right? So they had this leader in a way that was, you know, foreign, that was in, out of control. Right? So an expression of it was by their own volition, by their own initiative, bringing an unmandated sacrifice. But you find it in other places. One of the sins that Chazal say they were guilty of is that by Midbar Sinai, which the second account of this Sinaitic event that's brought down in Parshas Mishpatim, says, "Ve'atziv b'nei Yisrael lo shalach es yadam v'yechzol esokim v'yochol v'ishtu," to the princes of Israel. Hashem didn't touch them, didn't harm them. They saw God and they ate and they drank. So Chazal make the inference, it's mashba, would seem that they deserve to be harmed. Because otherwise, what's the Torah stressing? And God didn't harm them. And Chazal explained, because, you know, they looked at the Shekhinah straight in the face, without any awe, without any fear. Right? They wanted to get the whole picture, and they should have showed more awe and fear, and I guess as a function of reverence. Right? And these, from amongst these princes of Israel, were Nadav and Avihu. So again, that's this tremendous passion that they want to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or whatever there is to be seen of his revealed presence. Right? They wanted to see and experience, well, yeah, this passion of wanting to go forward. You know, without busha, no shame. Right? Then there's another thing, that they were mera halacha b'tnei rabbim. Right? They paskind halacha in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. And based on the way we're describing the midas of Nadav Avihu, you can understand how they fell into a mistake like that. You know, mera halacha b'tnei rabbim chayav misa, a person who paskins a halacha in front of his Rebbe deserves death. Right? And we can understand how with their tremendous initiative, right, and Azaz de Kedusha, a sign which one could easily mistake, you know, for impulsivity, because it's a meter that, you know, borders on impulsivity. Of course, they had the more holy and refined aspect of it. Right, so, you know, being so much initiative and so much creativity. Right, so it's easy to understand how, you know, they pass them off from it because, you know, these guys don't hold back. They have, you know, ideas, they have holy ideas, they say them, they act upon them. So here they said what they felt the halacha should be. Right, so it's easy to understand based on understanding their midas of how they fell into this mistake. Right. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu took them away, but for sure, I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu tells Aaron, the Krovei HaKadesh, you know, Hashem said, only with his closest ones does God get sanctified. Right? You know, that you see that Nadav and Avihu were on a very high level, you know, because even these sins were coming from a certain positive trait that was out of control. So you see that they were holy people, not lowly people, and these sins came from a certain positive trait that they had, not because they were bad people, chas v'shalom. Right. So now you come to what Pinchas was doing. The halacha of kanoim pogel, a person is boil aramis b'shuk, a person is with a shiksa in public, right? Right. So there's a halacha of the zealots are allowed to kill him, right? It's a special din that the zealot who is repulsed and feels the wrath of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's allowed to kill him, right? It has to come from there. It has to come from the initiative. Because al pi, you know, halacha itself, what he did is not chayev misa. Right? A person is not chayev the death penalty for taking a shiksa, you know, be it in private, be it in public, you know, that intermarriage is not punishable by death. Right? You know, he doesn't have a din of misa spez, he doesn't have a din of that he could be convicted of death by a rabbinical court. Deeper than that, he's really not chayev death row from the fact that you see that the person who's guilty, who's with the shiksa, he's allowed to defend himself. And if he killed the zealot before the zealot killed him, he's not chayav misa for killing the zealot, even though the zealot is right and he's wrong. Right? So it's amazing. It's a special din, you know, which can't go into all its halachas right on full death. So it's a special din, right, of zealotry. It comes because the person feels kanos, the person feels zealous for God's honor and for the honor of the covenant that the people have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's also what the Zohar says, that you know, Pinchas sees something crooked and he wants to straighten it out. That's where it comes from. It's a reaction from the zealot. And to further show that that's the case, the beauty of it is it's halacha ve'ein morim came. Right? It's, you know, the halacha is that, you know, if the zealot, you know, would ask us, should I kill the guy, we're not allowed to tell him to do it. You know, we should tell him, no, don't. He's not chayav misa. We're not allowed to tell him to kill, you know, the person, because the person's not chayav death, you know, the same way a person who's mechalel Shabbos or worships idols is chayav death. Over there he's convicted. I mean, he has the death sentence upon him. Over here it's a reaction to his promiscuity. So it's not a psak, it's a reaction. So we can't pask him for him to do it, because then he's doing it as if, you know, Bezdin sent him. He's not doing it as the long arm of the law itself, because the law doesn't prescribe the death penalty. It's zealotry, it's pure zealotry. So it's one Lashon Chazal is that Pinchas asked Moshe Rabbeinu, didn't you say, Moshe Rabbeinu said, he who has the letter, you know, reads the letter, should carry it out. Right? And Moshe Rabbeinu didn't paskin for it, because it's halacha vein morin kein. So over here, the zealot is supposed to do without asking, because if he's asked, he won't get the psak to do it. Right? So it everything about kanoim pogimbo is a tikkun for what Nadav and Avihu did, because it's using their midas in the right way. Over there, you're not supposed to ask your Rebbe, right? Because your Rebbe can't even paskin for you. Right? He would tell you not to do it. If you ask them as a rabbi who explains the law itself. Right? So it's supposed to be done by initiative. You're not supposed to ask. So there's no problem. Mar halacha b'fnei rabbo, just the opposite. It's halacha vein morin kein. Your Rebbe won't tell you to do it. Right? So you have to do it. It has to come from you. And it's the whole essence of it is zealotry. It's coming from the initiative and from the passion, the holy passion of the zealot. So in that way, right, what they did is a tikkun for Nadav and Avihu, right? It's passion breaking forth, right? But over here it's okay. It's passion breaking forth, and you don't follow the chain of command of asking your Rebbe, but over here it's okay. Right, so that's why everything he did is a tikkun for them, and that's why they wanted to participate with the act. But it goes deeper than this. Right, after this, you know, after they become incorporated in Pinchas, Pinchas becomes a kohen, so we know Pinchas Elio, Pinchas eventually becomes Elio HaNavi, and Elio HaNavi, he breaks all the rules, right? For aside the fact that he himself is a zealot, right? He has this meat of zealotry, see, throughout his story, right? He's a big zealot, but also he breaks the rules, right? He does miracles that God reserves only for himself, right? God gives him the keys. That God, because I'll say the keys that God, you know, certain miracles that God, as it were, takes exclusive rights on, he shared with Elio HaNavi. But he broke the biggest rule of all, the rule of death. Right? There was a rule ever since the sin of Adam, you know, every human being must die. He broke that rule, and he was able to ascend to heaven alive. And that's the power of Elio HaNavi, that he breaks the rules, but in a positive way. Right, and that's, you know, it's how he's always there to bail us out when, you know, as it were, the situation, the rules of the situation are against us. Things seem to be lost. He always breaks the rules in a positive way of bringing back all the things that are lost. And the greatest loss is, you know, death itself. And Chazal say, Tchiya Samesim Ad Elio, Akash, when he will revive the dead, he will do it through Elio HaNavi. Right. So this is the power of Nadav and Avihu, right, got elevated by Pinchas' act of zealotry, and then becomes incorporated and becomes the power of Elio HaNavi, breaking the barriers, but only in a good way, for the benefit of Hashem's glory, for the benefit of the Jewish people. And this is the secret of what it says in the writings of the Ari HaKadosh, that Ana Hashem Hashem, when we pray to Hashem, Hashem, please save us. Hashem, please give us success. Ana, right? We mean, we're begging that Hashem should give us, you know, a Yeshua, even if it's against all the rules. Give us success, even if everything is stacked against us. Break the rules in our favor. So, Ana, please, is Rosh HaTevis, Elio, Nadav HaNavi, Elio HaNavi, Nadav HaNavi.